For our reading this evening, will you turn with me to the 6th chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 6. And while you're turning to that passage, we who have been your honored guests these past few days certainly are grateful to the Lord. I'm sure I speak on behalf of all who are visiting, not only from the States, but from other islands in the Bahamas. And the wonderful grace of hospitality, we can say like Paul, you've received us as though we were angels of God. And we remember the words of Scripture that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward the saints. And so we're grateful indeed for the privilege of being here with you. Reading from verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 6, please. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, nobody greater than God, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability or the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. When the Lord Jesus closed his Sermon on the Mount, he said, whosoever heareth and doeth these sayings of mine shall be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. And whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sands. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Wise or foolish? The Lord tells us that if you're going to build a family, a house, you better make sure it's built upon the rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Where are you building? It is not how well you build, but where you build, that counts. We live in a world of uncertainty. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We have been hearing of these young people that our brother knew. They had their future all planned what they were going to do. But they had another appointment to make. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. The most certain thing as far as this life is concerned is its uncertainty. You can't trust even your parents. The Bible speaks, when thy father and thy mother forsake thee, and there are those that have had that experience where father or mother has slammed the door and says, you're no longer our child. You can't count on that. You can't count on your children. You can't count on their word. For man goes astray from his mother's womb speaking lies. But I'll tell you two things that you can count on. And they're the only two things in the universe that are absolutely certain. And that's what this passage speaks about. First of all, God cannot fail. God cannot fail. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Someone has said, if you can believe Genesis 1, verse 1, you can believe anything else in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Everything else is child's play. Paul said, why should it be thought a thing incredible that God should raise the dead? That I should raise the dead? That's incredible. But that God should raise the dead, it's no problem to him. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? God cannot fail. And secondly, God cannot lie. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not make it good? Two foundations you can rest your soul on. The scripture says, if the foundations be destroyed, where shall the righteous stand? But the righteous can take their stand on two absolutely certain things. God cannot fail. His absolute faithfulness. He abides faithfully, cannot deny himself. And God's absolute truthfulness. The Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. It looks so certain, doesn't it? Looks like man of war is going to be forever. The Lord says, all going up in smoke someday. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The word of our God endureth forever. How firm a foundation, we were singing, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I'll still give thee aid. I'll comfort thee. Strengthen thee and cause thee to stand upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flames shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid which is Jesus Christ. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his fold. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake. I'll never. No, never. No, never forsake. Oh, what a Savior is Jesus, the Lord. You see, Christ's work makes us safe, and God's word makes us sure. Did you notice what the apostle speaks of the work of Christ? It says, verse 20, whither, speaking about the Lord Jesus, going to heaven after having risen from the dead, winning the victory at Calvary, whether the forerunner is for us entered. He's already there. Even Jesus, made and high priest forever. He did all the work necessary for our salvation. And now he's in heaven, arisen, living, glorified Savior, a prince and a Savior, the Scripture says, who is able to bless all that come unto God by him. And God's word makes us sure. In fact, God gives us a double assurance. It says that when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. He gave him his oath and his word. That's the way they do. You know, when you go into court, they say something like this. Put your hand on the Bible. Do you swear? Take your oath first, you know. Do you swear to tell the truth? The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. And you put your hand on the Bible, you swear to do that. Doesn't mean you don't tell a lie after that, but that's what you swear to do anyway. Because God could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. He gave his oath. Surely, that's his oath. Blessing, I will bless thee. You know, God wants us not only to be saved, he wants us to have an assurance of it. We were singing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, and washed in his blood. God wants us to know absolutely that we're saved. 25 times over in John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus gives a double oath. For instance, I'll give you this one, John 5:24. Verily, verily, that's his oath. I say unto you, it's his word to you tonight. He says it to you. He says it to me. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. But he's passed out of death into life. The Bible says that all the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. Yea is his word, and amen is his oath. It says God's promises is he gives them all with an oath, and he gives them with his word. So you have something absolutely solid to rest your soul upon. Yes, the work of the Lord Jesus makes us safe. When he hung on the cross, he made a wonderful pronouncement. That it is finished. It is finished. What's finished? Everything that was necessary. Everything that was necessary to be accomplished for your salvation and mine was on the cross. You know, there's an illustration in the Old Testament in the tabernacle of God's wonderful work of salvation. The Epistle of Hebrews tells us that that Old Testament tabernacle was a figure of the heavenly. The most holy place is a figure of the presence of God himself. And it says as long as that veil was standing in the Old Testament, it figured the fact that there was no way yet manifest by which man could approach God or God could come out in mercy to men. But when the Lord Jesus said from the cross, it is finished, the Bible says the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. God with his hand broke that barrier and made a way into his holy presence. And we read in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12 that Christ is entered into that holy place, not the holy place made with hands, but made without hands, having, not going to, but having obtained eternal redemption for us. Did you notice what it said in verse 20? It says, whether the forerunner is for us entered. You see, the Lord Jesus was the only one that ever lived in this world that had a perfect right to go back to heaven because of the life that he lived. He did no sin. The wages of sin is death, but he did no sin. And in Luke 9, verse 51, we read these words, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He could have gone back because of the life that he lived, but we couldn't have gone. But it says he's gone into the holy place. Just as the high priest in the Old Testament, he entered into that holy place once a year on the Day of Atonement, not without blood, signifying the fact that that was the way by which man could come to God. And we sing often those beautiful lines that expresses the truth of God's Word. The veil is rent. Our souls draw near under the throne of grace. The merits of our Lord appear. They fill the holy place. His precious blood has spoken there before and on the throne. And his own wounds in heaven declare the atoning work is done. It's finished. Here our souls can rest. His work can never fail. By him, our sacrifice and priest, we enter through the veil. It says, God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. He wants us, it says in verse 18, to have a strong consolation, a solid comfort. You know, one of the things that I love about Man of War is you don't have to lock any doors around here. In Miami, even if we go out for a few minutes, we lock the door and we lock that deadbolt door, you know. In the day I'm talking about, I'm not talking about night. And every time I step out of the car, I lock the car door. I never leave the car door unlocked. Unless I forget it, but which is unusual. But you know, you like to have two locks. You know, God, that's what he's provided. He's probably provided this double security. We're singing about the shepherd and the sheep a little while ago, and the Lord Jesus said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice, I know them. I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's one security. He says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Or as it puts it in Colossians, our life is hid with Christ in God. Double security. God wants us to have a strong consolation, a solid hope in Christ. Double security. Some people say, you can't know this side of heaven that you're sure. It says, God willing more abundantly. God wants you to know. Willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. He confirmed it by an oath. God wants you to know. Somebody said if you're saved and don't know it, you can lose it and not miss it. It's a wonderful thing to know that you're saved on the way to heaven, and God wants you to know. That's why he sent his son. Because the Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible tells us John the Baptist was the forerunner of our Lord Jesus Christ. He went before. He preceded Christ. He announced him. Now it says the Lord is our forerunner. If you're a believer, he's our forerunner. It says he's entered into heaven for us. And the fact that he's there is a pledge that we're going to be there someday. He says, because I live, ye shall live also. It says concerning the priests in the Old Testament, they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. They died and kept on dying. But this one lives forever. They were not suffered to continue by reason of death, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood that lasts forever. Wherefore, I love this verse, Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he is able to save to the very end, all that come unto God by him. You turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul, in that great resurrection chapter, he seven times over says, if. Not the if of doubt, but the if of condition. And he concludes with this one. He said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, with all men most miserable. Why, he says in Romans 8, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. For thy sake, Lord, we're killed all the day long. And if this is all there is to it, why, we're absolute idiots. Thrown to the lions, boiled in oil. For thy sake, killed all the day long. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we of all men most risen. But he says, but now is Christ risen from the dead, and he's become the first fruits of them that slept. Except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And one of these glad days, he's going to see of the fruit of the travail of his soul. He's going to be satisfied. He's going to say, it's worth it all. And we're going to say, yes, Lord, it was worth it all as far as we're concerned. We're among that number, that great family of God, of which we read, they're going to sing that song, Lord, thou art worthy, for thou wast slain. You redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and made us unto our God a kingdom of priests. I was over here in 1936, not at Man of War, but at Marsh Harbor. And they used to sing a little chorus in Sunday school. The aeroplane can fly so high. It penetrates the sky so blue. And yet, it cannot pierce the sky to heaven and take us through. What? Never take us through. No, never take us through. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, alone can take us through. That's true. It says he entered in with his own blood. And we have a certain hope because of the work that he has done. I remember when I was here in March of this year, I was speaking to our brother Haziel's brother, Lewis, and he was telling me in the 1932 hurricanes, they don't know how hard it blew, but it was the worst one they've ever had here. He said probably 200 miles an hour or more. And he said, and he pointed to a little building. He said, about that far away, maybe 60 or 75 feet away. He said, I wanted to go from this building to that. And he said, I got down, and he said, I crawled on my hands and knees. And he said, I hadn't gone about 10 feet. And he said, that wind, I couldn't stand it. No one could stand it. He said, it took me up just like I was a ball and smashed me against the building. He said, I do not believe that anyone, if you'd have given him $1 million, could have gotten those 75 feet in the height of that storm. You know, the Bible speaks of a storm of God's judgment that's coming someday. But it says that the believer has an anchor. And it enters into that within the veil. And that anchor has got two points to it. God's word and God's oath. Christ has entered in there by virtue of the blood that he has shed. We sometimes sing, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cable strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? He was telling me that there was a ship that had two anchors here in the little harbor, sheltered, and yet it was being drugged as though it was nothing across the water here. But our anchor is safely moored. It'll a storm withstand, for it is well secured by the Savior's hand, and the cables pass from his heart to mine. Can defy that blast through strength divine. Christ's work makes us safe. Everything that's necessary for your salvation has already been done. He has made your salvation possible. And God's word will make it actual If you'll take God at His word tonight, you can know that you're saved. You can go out of this building a new creature in Christ Jesus. Why? It's impossible for God to lie. Father may lie to you. Mother may lie to you. You may lie to your parents. But there's one who is never going to lie. The apostle says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And this is the witness which God hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not hath made God a liar, because he believeth not the record that God hath given of His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. You can't work for it. You can't pay for it. It's already been done. You don't need to pray for it. All that you need to do is simply receive it. And by the hand of faith, God's gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the minute you do, you'll know it's yours. God cannot fail. And God cannot lie. Young man, young woman, older person here tonight, you make sure tonight before you leave this place that you have staked your eternity on the work and word of Christ. I'll tell you this, you'll go on your way rejoicing. Friend of mine, Phil Baumberger, in Burlington, North Carolina, some years ago, he was out playing golf with three other friends. One of them was the vice president of a large insurance company. And he said to Phil, you know, I don't understand the Bible. There's so many different interpretations people give on it, you know. And he said, it's just too puzzling. He says, that's why I don't go to church and I don't do this and I don't do that. A lot of excuses people make. So Phil said, do you understand an insurance policy? Why? He said, certainly. He says, how do you think I got to be vice president of this firm if I didn't understand an insurance policy? Most of us, what we understand of an insurance policy is what they give you in the big print, they take away in the small. But he said he understood one. Phil said, my friend, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. He says, one day you're going to stand in the presence of God. And you're going to say to him, Lord, Lord, he said, you made it too tough for me to understand. The way of salvation is too difficult for me to understand. And the Lord is going to say to you, I wrote my insurance policy all in words of one syllable so that even the simplest child can understand it. And you're going to say there that I don't understand it, Lord. And he quoted this verse, 1 John 5 and verse 12. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. Has there ever been a moment, in your life when you've said, Lord Jesus, I'll trust you. I'll trust you with my soul. I'm going to receive you right now as my Savior. I'm going to trust you alone. I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. If there is, you have life. And if there isn't, you're still dead in trespasses and sin. You're the foolish man that hears and does not, and you're building on the sands. And when the hour of judgment falls, your house will not stand. But God's word says to you, right where you are, right now, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved and your house. May God help you for His name's sake. Shall we sing number 123. This is a testimony song. We were singing a testimony song at the beginning. This is a testimony song. If you're a believer in our Lord Jesus Christ, you can sing it in truth. If you're not, I trust that you'll be able to sing it in truth this evening. Oh, come to the Savior. He patiently waits to save by His power divine. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest and say, my beloved is mine. We'll sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 5, skipping only verse 4.